In our first story, I do want to talk about the Marjorie Taylor Greene resignation. Huge news and a big surprise, big shocker. This came out of absolutely nowhere. It makes no sense on some level. Marjorie is relatively young. I mean, she's an older woman, but she's relatively young for a congresswoman. And as far as I'm aware, I think she's more popular than ever. She has easily won every election since her first election, I think in 2022 or 2020. She's been around for a long time. She's been learning the game. She's been quite popular. And like I said, the resignation follows her total and complete victory over Donald Trump concerning the bill which will force the DOJ to release the Epstein files. Donald Trump has been working overtime to cover up the Epstein files, to bury them, to distract people from them, to persuade the members of Congress that want to get them released to stand down. He's really pulled out all the stops to prevent this from happening. And it was only this week, I believe we covered it on Monday and Tuesday, it is now headed to the president's desk for a signature. It is only this week that the bill finally passed, and it did so with the defections of four MAGA congressmen, Thomas Massie, Marjorie Greene, Lauren Boebert, and Nancy Mace. This was the latest and arguably the most intense conflict between Marjorie Greene and President Trump to date. It seemed that this is a relationship that had been fraying for some time, maybe due to political reasons. Marjorie's very ambitious. I think we all know that she has ambitions to run for a statewide office like governor or senator of Georgia. I imagine she was angling for the vice presidency last year. At least that's what I've heard. I always thought that was idiotic, but other people insisted that would happen, and it didn't. I imagine she was angling for a cabinet position. And so it would seem to me that she is basically somebody who outgrew Congress, but found herself reaching a very low ceiling. And it seemed that the party leadership, perhaps Trump included, was not keen on elevating her any further. Perhaps they recognized that she doesn't have a very high ceiling. I don't think she has what it takes, actually. I don't think that she has the right personality. I don't think she has the right politics. I don't think she's smart enough to become the governor, the senator, the president. I think everyone recognizes that. And so they want to keep her around as a staunch, energetic ally in Congress. They don't see any future Senate campaign or governor campaign with her at the top of the ticket that has any chance or any kind of legs or anything like that. And so I think there was some maybe political disagreement. There was maybe a political clash, and by politics, I mean purely politics. And of course, that has manifested as a policy disagreement. I think that as Marjorie has grown frustrated with her current standing or lack thereof, I think she has decided to rebel against the party and against Trump in particular. It's also the case that Congress across the board is rebelling against a deeply unpopular president who seems to be hemorrhaging support with independents and especially lately even with Republicans on key issues, issues like the economy, issues like immigration. These are Republican issues. These are Trump issues. His support is dying. And so this has been the theme of the past year. Marjorie Greene, being what she is, she blows with the wind. She goes and bandwagons wherever the people are, whatever's popular, that's what she embraces. She serves as a bellwether, a weather vane for where the MAGA base is at, given that she is arguably the first or the second class of MAGA congressmen or congresspeople. At the same time, I think she's willing to represent that because she's dissatisfied. She's unhappy. She doesn't want to be a congresswoman for 40 years. She wants to be the senator, and then she wants to be the president. She wants to be the secretary of education. She wants more, and it's not being given to her. And that's very clear. We'll talk a little bit about why that is, how we know that. And in any case, so this relationship has been fraying over the past year. It's political, but I think that Marjorie has seized on some very real popular sentiment. It also shows that it's not just political. There's also more to it as well, even if it's opportunistic. And this really metastasized until eventually it turned into an open conflict, an open battle between Marjorie and the president over the Epstein files. And Marjorie, standing with Thomas Massie and Lauren Boebert and Nancy Mace, these were the four Republican defectors that insisted, and they voted and worked along with the Democrats on passing a bill in the House forcing the release of the files. Because of that, Trump put Marjorie in the crosshairs and has unleashed a vicious attack on her in the past couple of weeks, calling her a traitor and saying actually that he would go to his, or rather to her district in Georgia in the midterms and maybe campaign for a potential primary challenger and work to unseat her and take the nomination from her as the incumbent. And that's a major escalation and a major betrayal. Considering that Marjorie Greene has been one of Trump's closest friends and staunchest allies in Congress, one of the most conservative members of Congress. And in fairness, the areas where Marjorie has broken with the president, these are areas where the president has broken with the people. Marjorie disagrees with the president on H-1Bs, on bombing Iran, on foreign aid to Israel, and on the Epstein files. These all happen to be MAGA, America First issues. These are America First labor, corruption, and foreign policy issues. And most of these things are things that Trump campaigned on himself. Perhaps not specifically H-1Bs, but Trump did campaign on not starting new wars, on an America First foreign policy, and on releasing the Epstein files. He's not delivering, and these are the areas where Marjorie has disagreed. In response, Trump has totally pulled the rug out from under her and declared an open war on her. Marjorie retaliated against the president. She replied, and she said that because of the statement, she's been getting death threats. She says that people are threatening her, harassing her, doxing her. She's in fear for her life, and Trump has totally dismissed that. Now, the big news came today on Friday that she is resigning. And she talked in her resignation message about this conflict. She talked about how she's frustrated with the lack of change or willingness to change in Washington. She wrote about how she is disappointed and saddened about the conflict with the president. She also writes about the pressure she's under and the danger. And she says that she will be resigning effective January 5th, 2026. And as of right now, that's it. If there is some deeper reason or greater reason, she didn't say it or imply it. And if she has any future political ambitions, she didn't say that either. And we'll work through this. This is from the New York Times. This is the news story about it. It says, quote, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, the hard right Georgia Republican, said on Friday night that she would resign from Congress in January, an announcement that came days after President Trump branded her a traitor for breaking with him and helping to force a vote to compel the Justice Department to release its files related to Jeffrey Epstein. Ms. Greene, who was elected in 2020 and positioned herself as a diehard Trump supporter until a series of ruptures with the president on a variety of issues, made the abrupt announcement in a video and statement she posted online, filmed from her home in Georgia with her Christmas tree on display behind her. Important detail there. She said, quote, Loyalty should be a two-way street. We should be able to vote our conscience and represent our district's interest. She said that she had been cast aside by MAGA Inc. It was indicative that many common Americans had been cast aside and replaced as well. In a phone interview with an ABC reporter, Mr. Trump called her plans great news for the country. Love it. Love that. It is extremely unusual for a member of Congress to up and leave in the middle of a term, barring an illness or some extenuating circumstance that makes it impossible to carry on. But Ms. Greene said she had made the decision to leave because she did not want to endure a hurtful and hateful primary against me by the president that we all fought for, only to fight and win my election while Republicans will likely lose the midterms. She added, "I refuse to be a battered wife, hoping it all goes away and gets better." That's a really weird thing to say. It's called, you fight? What do you mean, a battered wife? You're not married to the president. And you're a congresswoman. What are you talking about? I refuse to just hope it all gets better. Well, who's going to make it better? You have to fight for that. You have to battle. I refuse to be a battered wife. What does that even mean? Who wrote this trash? I refuse to be a battered wife. What are you talking about? That part does not make any sense. Ms. Green, who arrived in Congress in 2021 as something of a pariah in her own party, has tried out many different ways of doing the job. She carved out a singular space on Capitol Hill as part of a group of lawmakers at both extremes of the ideological spectrum, less interested in legislating and building up seniority and leadership suites, and more interested in influencing politics from the outside, using social media to troll adversaries. This is just the worst written article. She briefly acted as a team player, forgiving an unlikely alliance with Speaker Kevin McCarthy that brought her some internal standing in the Republican conference, landed her on prime committees that Democrats had removed her from. Stephen Bannon said the House is not big enough for her ambitions or personality. She had her committee assignments pulled by Pelosi in her first term and rose to be a national figure. We haven't seen or heard the last of MTG. In the Friday Night Post, Ms. Green said her last day in office would be January 5th. So, here's the thing. I have mixed feelings about the whole story. The whole thing is a total surprise. And I think the statement is basically a fake statement. She made this big, long video, and she addresses some of her grievances, and ostensibly she explains her decision, but I think we all know none of this is true. There's some other reason that she's resigning. None of this makes sense. And I think it points to one distinct possibility, which might be the most obvious. She wants to be the president. She wants to run for president. Everybody knows that. The 2028 primary is soon approaching. You've got the midterms in 2026. Shortly after the midterms, which the Democrats will almost certainly take over the House, is 2027. And in 2027, both parties are going to have a wide open primary. Trump is term limited, so the Republicans are going to have a wide open primary. It's anybody's game. And they'll be competing for Trump's endorsement as well. It's truly going to be wide open for the first time since 2016. And really, that primary started in 15. So we have not had an open primary, or we will not by the time of the next one, for 13 years. 12, 13 years since it has been anybody on the ticket other than Trump. You know, over a decade. That's a very long time and very unusual. So, of course, everybody in the Republican Party with ambitions is acutely aware of this. DeSantis, Haley, Pence, Vance, Noem, Rubio, Green, like all these people, and even many outsiders, they are all deeply aware, hyper aware, you could say, hyper conscious, that what Trump is a lame duck. He is a lame duck president that will not have a reelection. And everybody is acting accordingly. And I told you it would be like this. Although when I was telling you this last year, I was strictly talking about the cabinet. And I guess I didn't really even consider that this would also afflict the House and the Senate. And that's something that maybe people didn't really take into account, which is that everybody's expectation is that the second Trump term will have no rules because Trump is term limited. He doesn't have to worry about reelection. People said that would be a positive. People said that would be actually helpful, that without having to worry about reelection, Trump could be as radical as he wants. He could be extreme. He cannot be held accountable. That was the idea going in. This was going to be a radical second term. He was going to be our vengeance, deliver a golden age, and he would not be constrained by public opinion or thinking about re-election, donors, all those petty considerations. But I told you last year, no, the opposite is true. The exact opposite is true, which is that because the primary will open up, everybody in the party is going to be doing nothing other than angling for the nomination. So people in his cabinet are not really going to be focused on delivering America first, which might be a risky business. Because to actually deliver on Trump's agenda, you might have to be deeply unpopular. You've got to be invested in the success of the administration for the 4 years, for the full 4 years. If you're angling, however, to run for the nomination in 2027, which is really just 2 years in, do you have that kind of commitment? Are you invested? Or are you going to be risk averse? Are you going to be doing things that are only good PR, doing things that only have an upside or a value for a potential presidential run? And people have a memory about these things. So you have to acknowledge, you have to understand that the Secretary of State, the Vice President, the Secretary of War, potentially the Secretary of Homeland Security, many in the Senate, many in the House, many of the governors even, they are all thinking about this deeply. And so their eye is not on the ball. And so what is maybe the most obvious here is Marjorie is resigning from Congress because she's got presidential ambitions. And like I said, this is also specific to her. And I said earlier, we know for a fact that she's ambitious. She ran in 2020 as a MAGA congresswoman when the Democrats won the majority. And very quickly, she was sidelined and I think also sort of typecast as a hillbilly, as a hill person, a Trump radical, a someone like the New York Times describes her who is not interested in building a coalition or working across the aisle or passing legislation, but she wants to be a social media influencer. She wants to pander to the furthest right edge of the MAGA base. So she was taken out of the game quite early. She lost her committee assignments. She was marginalized really by her own party as well. And then in 2022, when the Republicans retook the House, Marjorie Greene sold out. And she went and made a deal with Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy is not MAGA. He's not loyal to Trump. He's not loyal to anybody. He's like the epitome of a spook. He lives with Frank Luntz. They share a house in D.C. It's weird. He takes tons of foreign money. He should have been the speaker many years ago, but he got blackmailed out of it. Like, this guy is like the definition of the D.C. swamp. The definition of everything that's wrong with the GOP conference. And in 2022, when Republicans gained back the House by a hair, it was very difficult for the Republicans to choose a speaker because there was nobody in the House that could really command a large number of votes besides Kevin McCarthy. And the more radical members of Congress from the Freedom Caucus or from the emerging MAGA caucus, they didn't want to support him. They don't like him for the same reasons that I do. And Marjorie Greene basically made a deal with Kevin McCarthy and said that she would help him get the speakership. She would quell the MAGA uprising. She would mediate that if he would elevate her in Congress. And so there Marjorie was with Milo Yiannopoulos, her Jewish pedophile assistant, her lapdog. There they were on election night in 22. They said cheers to joining the swamp. And Marjorie Greene sold out the MAGA base. She did a lap dance on Kevin McCarthy. She busted down for him. She whipped the votes. She attacked Matt Gaetz. She attacked others that didn't want Kevin McCarthy to be the speaker. And then she got her reward. She took her money like a whore. She got her position and she was put back on the committees. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough and it didn't work out because, of course, Kevin McCarthy crashed and burned after just a year. Kevin McCarthy did not hold up his end of the bargain to Matt Gaetz and to the others. He did not deliver the January 6th Capitol Hill riot footage. He did not deliver on auditing Ukraine aid. He did not deliver on restricting the out-of-control debt spending by refusing to lift the debt ceiling. He didn't do any of that. As a result, he was bounced by Matt Gaetz. There was effectively a vote of no confidence by Matt Gaetz just before October 7th. Kevin McCarthy was overthrown and replaced with Mike Johnson. So Marjorie lost her sugar daddy in 2023. She made this deal. She sold out. She became deeply unpopular. Everybody recognized that. And then her sugar daddy, well, he lost anyway. And Matt Gaetz then eventually lost his position because the swamp retaliated against him. But this wasn't enough for Marjorie. Marjorie wanted the committee assignments, and she wanted to make this deal to demonstrate that she's a serious player. Because she wasn't happy being a Paul Gosar. She wasn't happy being a Thomas Massie. She, in other words, did not want to be stuck in the back of the classroom and be in Congress being the nut job, ridiculed and laughed at and not taken seriously. She wanted to be the governor. She wanted to be the senator. She wanted to be the vice president. She wanted to be in the cabinet. She's very ambitious. So the reason she made the deal with Kevin McCarthy to get the assignments, it wasn't just because she wanted the committee assignments. It's because she wanted to start to build up her credibility. And she wanted to change her reputation. She wanted to repair her reputation as the hillbilly MAGA congresswoman. She wanted to be the bastard you could do business with. She wanted to be the woman that, okay, you know, she's demonstrating her political chops. She can make compromises. She can be a team player. She can eat shit and get attacked by the base in order to help the party. And she thought that not only would she get her committee assignments, but maybe one day the GOP would select her to run for the Senate seat in Georgia or to run for the governorship. But that was delusional because she does not have what it takes. She is not smart. She's not very good looking. No offense. This is politics. It is what it is. And what's more, unfortunately, she is just not politically viable in the state of Florida, which had in 2020 two Democrat senators, which had, you know, Brian Kemp as the governor, who is not a radical at all. In other words, you can't be the MAGA congresswoman. You can't be what she is and be the statewide winner in a state like Georgia, which has become a purple state, which has become a pretty contentious state between Republicans and Democrats. So Republicans, I'm sure, told her that's never going to happen. They said governor, senator, vice president, cabinet post, never going to happen. You've been a congresswoman for what, like 4 years? And you got nothing going on. And nobody likes you. The Democrats don't like you, you know. And so I think what very clearly happened is that she hit her ceiling. She sold out, but the party was not going to really give her everything maybe that she expected to get out of this. She made this proverbial Faustian bargain. She made her deal with the devil. And as is always the case, the devil actually doesn't deliver. You sell your soul and you don't get what you think you're going to get. So she sold her soul. She gave up her credibility and she said, all right, am I going to be the governor now? And they said, get the fuck out of here. You're not going to be the governor. Be happy you're on a committee. They said, be happy you're on a committee. And maybe in 10 years you could be, maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe we'll have that conversation. So she got rug pulled just like everybody does, just like they always do when you trust the party. And by the way, there's a lesson in this. Everybody thinks they're playing the system. The system is playing you because they made the system and they wrote its rules. So everybody thinks they're going to instrumentalize the system cynically. They're going to infiltrate. They're going to subvert. Everybody thinks they're going to make a pact with the system with their fingers crossed behind their backs, thinking they have no idea. I'm just using them to get ahead. When in reality, You cannot make deals with the system because the system was here before you were born. And the system wrote the rules. And the system, it is the water in which you swim. And so the idea that you will get an advantage over the system, it is not mathematically possible. It can't happen. The idea that you're going to pull one, you're going to pull a fast one, you're going to sneak it past the goalie, it doesn't work. The house always wins. That's why it's the house. That's how they make money, because they make the games and they pay the dealers. So, you know, you're never going to get an advantage. And I've been a believer in this for many years. All these people, they go in there thinking they're going to, you know, I know better. I know what I'm doing. No, you don't. Marjorie Greene, you should have stuck to your daddy's construction company. You do not know how to play. They're smarter than you. They've been there longer than you. They're more powerful than you. It was never going to work. So she sold out her supporters, thinking that she could make a pact with the system. Surprise, surprise, it didn't work out. Kevin McCarthy got blown up. Her deal got blown up with that. And anyway, they don't even want to run her for a higher office. So where does that leave her in 2025? Well, understandably, she's pissed because she thinks she deserves more. She's a star fundraiser. She's famous. She's got a big social media. I think the clout got to her head. And she's thinking, I deserve more. I'm not getting everything that I deserve. And I think she starts to resent the president. She starts to resent the GOP. And politically, she sees an opening, which is that there is some discontent in the Republican Party about the war in the Middle East, about the war in Ukraine, about some of the statements on immigration, about Epstein. And I think Marjorie finds her leverage. What's going to be her third act? If her first act was MAGA nut job, second act was traitor, sellout bitch. If her third act is going to be, how do I get the initiative back? I will become the voice of the discontented MAGA. If you're not going to listen to me as the team player, I'll go right back on the outside. I tried to be a team player for McCarthy. If you're not going to give me what I'm owed, then I'm going to become a problem for you. So she finds an opportunity, which is to become the mouthpiece and potentially a lightning rod for some of this internal dissent in the party concerning foreign aid to Israel, concerning Tucker, concerning the remarks on H-1B and the Epstein files. And over time, she grows more bold and more outspoken and builds up this catalog of issues. And it starts to really represent like a distinct position, because if you disagree with Trump on labor, immigration, foreign policy, and Epstein, that's like a platform. So it culminates in this battle. Trump slaps her down hard. Now, where does that leave her here in 2025 after the big Epstein dispute? I think that potentially this is one explanation. She recognizes that MAGA is a sinking ship. She's right. The Republicans are going to get destroyed in the midterms. They're going to lose the House. And even if Marjorie runs in 2026 and wins, if Trump tries to primary her, it's going to be a vicious battle. It's going to be ugly. Battle lines are going to be drawn. It's going to be unavoidable. And she might make a lot of enemies. And certainly she's going to take a lot of hits. If she has Trump and AIPAC and the Jewish lobby going really hard against her for a year, she's going to get bruised up even if she wins. And even if she wins, she's going to be entering a Democrat-controlled chamber. They're going to take her committee assignments from her all over again, back to square one. So maybe Marjorie is just jumping off of the sinking ship. She doesn't want to play that game. She is going to avoid getting bruised up in a primary, avoid getting attacked, getting ads ran against her, getting maybe blackmail disclosed about her, and she's going to gear up for the 28 primary. Maybe that's the angle. Maybe that's the idea. Perhaps that's the goal. Another explanation is, who knows, maybe they got something on her. Maybe she's afraid. Maybe they have blackmail on her. Maybe they have something, because she's not the first person to leave under mysterious circumstances. And she's also not the first person to leave under mysterious circumstances who became a problem for MAGA Inc. Matt Gaetz comes to mind. Do you remember the tale of Matt Gaetz? Matt Gaetz led the coup against Kevin McCarthy in September 2023. When Matt Gaetz and the MAGA caucus shut down the government, Kevin McCarthy worked with the Democrats to open the government back up. So Matt Gaetz, with a single vote, initiated a vote of no confidence. Kevin McCarthy lost. He was overthrown and he was forced to resign. His own party took the speakership from him. Matt Gaetz led the charge. Kevin McCarthy resigned. After that, the Republican Party had it out for Matt Gaetz. They started to investigate him. They talked about releasing damning evidence about maybe past sexual or romantic relationships. And so in 2024, after Trump won the election, Matt Gaetz was nominated for Attorney General. He was never going to get the votes for this. I don't know if it was ever serious. It became clear he would not get the votes. He would not be confirmed in the Senate. There was talk that the blackmail would be dumped on him, and so he withdrew himself from consideration and then dropped out of Congress. So he won re-election in 24, was submitted as a nominee for Attorney General, withdrew, and then dropped out and would not take office after his re-election in 24, which was not necessary. He didn't have to do that. And a lot of people said, maybe they had blackmail on him. And Matt Gaetz is another MAGA caucus guy. He fought Kevin McCarthy and won. He was another guy who was maybe not loyal to the GOP conference, not loyal to the system. And he also mysteriously resigned, and now he's at OAN, and it's kind of sad. And he's another one that's become a big Israel critic. Oh, well, thanks. Now that you're at OAN, now you want to criticize Israel. That's super helpful, bro. You were a congressman for years, you were well known, and now that you're on OAN, now you found the courage to talk about Israel. Profiles and courage, thanks, helpful, awesome, hero. And it also reminds me of Madison Cawthorn. Madison Cawthorn, same deal. Young guy, pro-Trump, MAGA, very conservative, loves the Roman Empire. He goes on a podcast and says, it's Sodom and Gomorrah in D.C. There's orgies and sex parties. What do? Primary challenger. They release all this blackmail on him. He loses the primary. And now I think he's mounting a campaign. I think I saw him on Fresh and Fit the other night. So that's great. So Madison Cawthorn, Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Greene all have met the same fate. They all got elected to Congress. They stood up against the system, and then they got slapped down. They got pwned. They got slapped down by the machine. They're all MAGA, all pro-Trump, all anti-establishment. They all had their own ideas. They were all famous. They all maybe got a little too big for their britches. Very ambitious, not tactful. Very disruptive, not strategic, and each and every one of them got annihilated by the system. And I imagine most likely that is what happened with Marjorie Greene. I don't think actually this was a strategic move. I don't think this was a tactical move, because it makes no sense. If you were going to take on the presidency or some other higher office, you would do so as a congresswoman. And if Trump is crashing and burning, then you can articulate that in your position as a congresswoman or in your campaign. You can run as a survivor. The only reason why you might not want to stick it out is because if you do, they'll have the ability to make it really painful for you. So I'm not buying her explanation. I also don't think this is some segue into future political run. She might do that later, but I don't think that's the impetus behind this. I imagine she was either threatened or blackmailed. And I think that's the urgency. I think that explains the timing. She overthrows Trump on Epstein. It's a mutiny. I'd said it on Monday. I said, don't underestimate what a big deal this is. It's a huge deal. It's a mutiny. And Marjorie and Thomas Massie and Boebert and Mace, they led the charge. And for her to announce her resignation just a few days after that, that's a big deal. So I think she was threatened. I think she was threatened. I think that she was blackmailed. Something happened, but it was made clear to her that if she runs, her political career is going to end. I think that was intimated to her in some way, shape, or form. And this is why I have mixed feelings about it. On the one hand, I stand with her in principle. If she's criticizing Israel, if she's criticizing foreign aid, if she's criticizing H-1Bs, if she's criticizing the GOP conference, in principle, I'm with her. And if she got punished for that, then I'm with her. The reason I'm actually relieved to see her go is because she is not a principled person. This is not a principled person at all. She is a craven political opportunist. She is an egomaniac. She just isn't that smart. And, you know, on some level, it's the more the merrier, the more people are saying the message, it's a great thing. But I think that someone like her, I don't trust her. I don't really see her as a viable leader. I don't see her as a leader of men because she is a woman. And I don't think that she actually really took a brave stand at any point in her career. I think that it was popular to support Trump when she supported Trump. I think that it was convenient to support McCarthy when she did that. And I think that when she took up the mantle of dissatisfaction with Trump this year, again, I think that's where the wind was blowing. And so I don't think she's very principled at all. I don't think she's taken a principled stand in her life. I think she's reactive. She follows the trends. She follows and reacts to things that happen to her. And so I find her to be not only untrustworthy because she lied about me and lied about her relationship with me and lied about her views. So I think she's a liar. I think she's not courageous. She is a follower, a bandwagoner, so she has no principles. She worked with Kevin McCarthy. And if it wasn't for Matt Gaetz, we would still have Kevin McCarthy. And it would have been her fault. When it was convenient, she sold us out and thought she was smart for doing that. And in the end, the only reason she sounds like us or adopted our talking points is because we popularized them, no thanks to her. They became popular, no thanks to her. She didn't talk about this stuff. She didn't vote this way. She voted for foreign aid to Israel over and over and over again. She voted for foreign aid to Ukraine until it became unpopular. So good riddance. I agree with Trump. It is great news for the country. And if the loyalty thing is true, loyalty does go both ways. She was not loyal to me. Good riddance. Everybody always wants to be ecumenical. You know, Tucker was telling me, why are you attacking these people? A, they attacked me first. He goes, who cares? Okay, so which is it then? I'm the problem for attacking people, but them attacking me is, I should ignore that? No, fuck them. And Marjorie Greene, good riddance. Enjoy your honeymoon with your weird husband at RSBN. Good riddance. You know, and by the way, she's a woman. So I never liked that to begin with. The idea that we were going to be led by a woman was, I'm surprised how many people fell for that. She's the one. She's going to be the leader. She's a woman. No offense, but I'm not about to follow a woman like that. You know, what even is this movement about if it has a woman as its leader? Give me a break. So all the fag hags, or I guess she's a fag hag, all the fags worship her because she's a, what, because she's a badass bitch? She's a boss ass bitch like fucking Beyonce? Give me a break. So I agree. I mean, I think she's out of place to begin with. She should be home. You know, she divorced her husband. She got remarried. There's some weird affair going on there, some weirdo stuff going on there. Her husband, her new boyfriend from RSBN, is always posting pictures of them fucking hugging and kissing. Hey, nobody wants to see that, man. Aren't you guys both 60? Nobody wants to see a couple of 60-year-old crusty boomers making out. It's just kind of gross to look at, for crying out loud. Anyway, so I'm actually glad about the development. And you know what? You got to fight it out. I mean, look, either she got threatened or blackmailed and she's bowing out, and who knows what's being told to her. Or she's dropping out because she's weak. You got to stick it out. She goes, I don't want to be a battered wife waiting for things to get better. Why did you get elected to Congress then? You get elected to Congress to fight, to represent. And isn't that her whole deal? Is that she's fighting for the people. I'm a fighter. I'm a truth teller. I'm doing this. Oh, and then it gets a little bit difficult. Then it gets a little bit hard. You've been there for 4 years. You've been there for 4 years, almost 5 years now. Couldn't hack it. That's why I'm so, at the end of the day, a lot, there was a critique of me many years ago where people said that I was hurting Congress people's careers. Their careers mean nothing compared to this movement because, and I used to tell people in private, people like Marjorie Greene come and go. It's a revolving door. You think you're a big shot because you're working in a congressional office? You're not. These people are disposable. They come, they go, they rely on donations. They're not inspiring. They're not even that smart. If they can lay down their career to confer legitimacy upon this movement, it'll be the most productive thing they've ever done. So I remember when she went to AFPAC 3, people said, oh, you're hurting a MAGA congresswoman by association. I would say that me associating with her, that's the best thing she could have done at the time. Now she's done. Now what? Now what? I remember people in Matt Gaetz's office acted like big shots. Oh, well, you know, we're with Matt Gaetz. Oh, yeah, you know, well, we're with Madison Cawthorn. Oh, we're with Marjorie Greene. Who must go? Who must go? How many cocksucking GOP apparatchiks, how many wannabe student council president strivers, House of Cards LARPers, how many ambitious dorks and nerds working in these congressional offices looked down on this movement and said, oh, the Groypers, oh, what are they up to? America first? Yeah, okay. Yeah, where are they now? Who must go? Marjorie Greene and the whole operation, flush, the whole operation, Isaac and everybody over there. Hey, Isaac, flush, bye-bye, bye-bye. Yeah, I know, really. Honestly, she did them a favor. I can't imagine anything less dignified than working for a woman congressperson. I can't imagine anything less dignified than that, having to get schlepped around by her, making her gay-ass podcast that gets no views, and writing her talking points and going to the villages, going to the blue hairs in the nursing homes. Actually, she did them a favor. Nothing less dignified. Flush. Goodbye. Bye-bye, Matt Gaetz. Bye-bye, Madison. Maddie, as they call him. Bye-bye, Marjorie. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Where are they now? Yeah, I'm a little unhappy with those people. So it's a little bit delicious. And you know what? Here's the problem. All these various people, these congressmen, these people that work for them, they don't have a clue. They don't have the vaguest clue as to how we're actually going to get out of this mess. What's the big idea, actually? What's the big idea? Let's say you're Marjorie. Let's say you're Matt Gaetz. Let's say you're Madison Cawthorn. Let's say you're Paul Gosar. What's the big idea? We're going to vote in lockstep with Kevin McCarthy forever? That's going to take us to the promised land? We're never going to take risks with our rhetoric, with our vote. We're going to live in fear constantly of a little piece of paper slipped under the door from the leadership. We're going to live in fear that we're not going to get money from the conference. They don't have the vaguest clue. And that's irresponsible. about how we're going to get to the promised land. For them, it's like they're going to build out their career. They're going to get reelected and reelected and get donations and get the privileges and the perks of being in Congress while they're basically working with the enemy. And they're never outspoken and they're never bold. And in the meantime, they disavow people like me. In the meantime, these types are disavowing people like myself. Madison Cawthorn called me a right-wing nut. Remember that? Called me a right-wing nut. And Marjorie Greene says, oh, I don't know who that is, and making up shit about me on social media. Who's going to save us? You? Who's going to move the Overton window? You? Where is the Overton window? At the nursing home? Who's going to do it? Who's going to fight the battles? Who's going to make the arguments? So this is just a lesson. It's like, in the end, all these congressional offices are somewhat worthless. They're worthless in the sense that they played it safe, they were risk averse, and in the end, it didn't even matter. These people that were elected, like Gates and Green, they played it safe, they never took risks. Gates did something honorable with McCarthy, I'll give him that. But generally speaking, they didn't speak out, they didn't fight, they barely did anything, they didn't help the nascent America First movement at all, because they thought they were playing it smart within the machine. And in the end, it didn't even matter. In the end, what did they have to show for it? Nothing. Nothing. The country, the Congress, the policies, it is exactly as it was. Arguably, Mike Johnson is worse than Kevin McCarthy. Worse. And many people in Congress believe that. So even to the extent that they overthrew McCarthy, now we just got Mike Johnson. They just replaced him with another Petri dish creation. He might as well be Eric Cantor's DNA. Might as well have been grown in a laboratory from one of Eric Cantor or Paul Ryan stem cells. So this is just a message, which is you have to tell the truth. You have to fight. You have to take risks. Playing it safe profits you nothing. Because that was the dogma from all of these people. I've dealt with all these people in one way or another, and they always slammed the door on my cock because they said, oh, well, you know, we got to live to fight another day. We got to play it safe. You know, that's not really politically possible. Okay, and how did that work out for all of you? How did that work out? What did it profit you or the movement or anybody? Nothing. Nothing. So, I agree with Trump. Good riddance. Uninspired. We need a new generation. We need a new generation of congressmen that are just better and smarter, hiding their power levels, understand what it takes, working behind the scenes, not so terrified. So, as far as Marjorie's concerned, just another in a long list of has-beens, could-have-beens. Yeah, I really think she's a ridiculous person. So I hope she feels safer now. Now that she's resigned, I hope she feels safer. I hope she doesn't feel like a battered wife. She can take care of her kids. She can make out with her RSBN boyfriend some more. But I agree with Trump. It's great news for the country.